students of Hatha Yoga today. Before you sit down to work with these essays and questions, find a copy of the Bhagavad Gita you resonate with. My favorite is actually one that isn't particularly scholarly, but the language is poetic, alive, and even passionate. Be willing to thumb through a number of them at your favorite bookstore or online. It's a bit like buying clothes. Find the color and fit that is right for you. Then actually read it. The Gita is rather short, and in a day or two you can breeze through it, hearing the poetry, gathering impressions, maybe just basking in the glorious 10th and 11th chapters that might comprise the most incredible song about God ever put to pen and paper. As you begin, keep in mind this is a slice of history you are holding as well. The Gita was written sometime between 500 BCE to 200 CE, although parts of its thought may have existed in spoken form for much longer, making its true dating much more difficult. Part of the huge Mahabharata, one of the great epic poems of India, that is about 7 times the size of the Iliad and Odyssey combined, the entire teaching of the Gita, all 700-ish lines of verse, takes place on a battlefield, alongside a chariot poised between two great armies. If you can bring this kind of immediacy to your reading, really feeling the pressures shaping the conversation between Arjuna, the royal archer, and Krishna the charioteer, and an avatar of God, the text will begin to come alive for you. And when you make the cognitive jump that we all must battle the voices within us, voices that originate not just with our closest family members, but from our society at large, when the field of battle becomes the field within your own mind and heart, you will have taken one more step into why this text continues to be translated and commented upon, even in this age of spaceflight and cell phones and nanotechnology. You could spend a lifetime with this text, memorizing it, chanting it, watching your own life to see where it applies. But let's say you just have a weekend to first shake its hand. What 10 things would really stand out in this text? What 10 points could you take to heart and really ponder and bring to your work on and off the Hatha Yoga mat? What follows is my top 10 important ideas from the Bhagavad Gita. After you've read the Gita a few times, you may have a totally different set. But all journeys begin at some point. I'm pleased we'll step out together from here, even if your own path branches off in the future. Indeed, it should. The top 10 important ideas from the Bhagavad Gita. 1. No measure of spiritual devotion or practice is ever wasted. 2. The unity of the organs of perception, the perceiver and the perceived, or in other words, the known, the knower, and knowing, are all one. 3. Performing your own dharma is critical in life. 4. Divine revelation and experience is not just given to the professional religious among us. 5. For the many personalities of people, there is a yoga, path to union with the divine, that is suitable for them. 6. We have a right to our actions, but not to the fruit of our actions. Those belong only to God. 7. The sage established in wisdom is free of desires, content, untroubled by fortune or misfortune, free of craving, fear, anger, and aversion, focused wholly on God. 8. The person who thinks they kill, or that they can be killed, is dwelling in ignorance. 9. Radical monotheism. God is both immanent and transcendent, both huge and small, both inner and outer. 10. All living things must act, even God. 1. No measure of spiritual devotion or practice is ever wasted. One of the most poignant questions Arjuna asks Krishna is this: if I follow this path of union through action, meditation, or knowledge, but then I fall away from it, will all my work be lost? This is so very human of Arjuna. He is assuming that there are concrete beginnings and endings, that he is part of a world of acquisition and stolen moments and objects, that he is a finite creature.